This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Exodus from Houston is underway as J.J. Watt has signed with the Arizona Cardinals. Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson desperately wants out, but the teams say they're not willing to trade the three-time Pro Bowl quarterback. CBS sports writer and former NFL agent Joel Curry on the standoff between the Texans and Watson.
Well, both teams seem to be firmly entrenched in their position. So at this point, I'm thinking this thing gets past the draft. He's not traded. And it's very easy, from my experience as an agent, for a player to talk tough in March and April, but come training camp time, when you have to start getting fined what is now $50,000 per day, and in his case, the fines can't be forgiven, and then potentially if your holdout lasts long enough, they're able to recoup part of the prorated portion of your signing bonus, maximum of 5.4 this year. And then you start missing game checks if this continues, or if it goes to its logical extreme, you miss the whole season and your contract tolls. It's easy to talk tough now before you're actually losing a dollar. So I think if he's not traded by the draft, this thing is going to get very, very ugly. And one thing I wouldn't discount is the fact that you've got a new GM, and when there's a regime change, the new GM does not, or owner or head coach or whomever the person is, does not want to send a signal to the rest of the team and that you can stick a gun to his head and get what you want. But teams typically like to have a blanket rule, so that's something I would not discount as being a motivation for Nick Caserio.
CBS sports writer Joel Corey on Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard, heard weekdays 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on VSiN. Rams corner Jalen Ramsey on the Huddle and Flow podcast said that there's no real chance for the Texans to reconcile with his friend Deshaun Watson. The Texans are 100 to Super Bowl 56. The NCAA tournament is right around the corner. There are opportunities to bet which teams will the four number one seeds in the tournament be. On a numbers guide with Gil Alexander, Gil and Matt Cox of Three Man Weave agree that three of the four number one seeds are likely decided between Gonzaga, Baylor, and Michigan, all likely to be number ones. But the fourth number one could be a long shot from the American Athletic Conference in Houston at plus 400 to earn a number one seed.
I'm actually looking at Houston here. Plus 400, I'm seeing right now in the current updated odds. I think the Big Ten teams could cannibalize each other. Illinois and Ohio State, I believe, are probably in their best position as of today to take that four seed down. Illinois with a brutal close to their schedule. Obviously, the Big Ten tournament will be a gauntlet. Houston's just a team that I'm super high on. I don't see them losing in the American Conference tournament. I think they're right there on the cut line. I think they're at the seven or eight spot on the S curve. So you're going to need Illinois, Ohio State, and Iowa to all lose once, maybe twice, two of those teams losing twice potentially. And Alabama is the other team I think that's ahead of them right now in the updated bracket matrix curve. I think Houston's a good play, though, at plus 400.
Matt Cox of Three Man Weave on a numbers game with Gil Alexander, heard weekdays 10 a.m. to noon on VSiN. Cox likes Houston at plus 400 to be the fourth number one seed in the NCAA tournament. It's March, and that means it's time for the madness. Our VSiN experts are watching the bubble teams, conference tournaments, and looking for the future Cinderellas to give you the betting edge heading into the tournament. Now is the time to start your free VSiN trial to get members-only daily email updates, our upcoming bracket betting guide, and 24/7 coverage. Get ready for betting the madness. Sign up for your free trial of VSiN today at vsin.com/subscribe. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony DeZiri.
Get the latest VSiN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets bring you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines in action. Beating the Book with Gil Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit VSiN.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
Every day brings another opportunity to improve your sports betting knowledge, and the VSiN experts are working around the clock to give you the betting edge. Subscribe today to gain access to the full betting experience of our team of professional bettors, expert guests, and sportsbook insiders. Get the data and analysis you need to improve your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe and take your sports betting game to the next level.
It's conference tournament time in college basketball. Just an appetizer of the madness to come. Liberty has already punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament. Morehead Seder Belmont will head to the tournament out of the Ohio Valley Conference today. In the ACC, Florida State looks to wrap up its second consecutive regular season title. At Duke, North Carolina close out the regular season in their traditional end of regular season spot. Duke needs a win to improve their chances for the NCAA tournament. From the BetMGM Sportsbook at the MGM Grand in downtown Detroit, I'm Mike Sennett. James Salinas joins us from Denver. Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. Welcome to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Let's jump into the action, guys. First off, with the Florida State matchup. That game being played in South Bend, Indiana, Notre Dame and Florida State. The Seminoles are looking for a win to clinch their second consecutive ACC regular season title. They trailed by as many as 20 points in the first half of this one. They close as a 7-point favorite at the half. Notre Dame up 6, James. And right now, Notre Dame not shooting very well. And, well, Notre Dame is shooting very well, better than 50%. They cooled off toward the end. But right now, Notre Dame has Florida State against the ropes at the break.
Yeah, they're up 16, 47-31 over Florida State right now. I didn't get involved in this game, and this is me as a bettor. Sometimes when I had Notre Dame a couple weeks back when they were at the Carrier Dome at Syracuse, and they had a 20-point lead in that second half, and absolutely fell apart, and I just haven't got over that game, so I didn't play this game because we have not seen since that time Notre Dame actually be able to recover. But this is obviously the last home game. This is the final season, regular season game for them, and you're hosting the number one team coming in from the ACC, so you expected a good effort out of Notre Dame. And Wes, sometimes for me, it's just kind of one of those things where I'm not going to bet against them because I'm not trying to chase lost money from previous results, but sometimes it's just like I can't get those things out of my head, and so I really just stay off this. So I didn't have a play, but I think you definitely have a play in this contest.
Yeah, I took first half and game, split them up half and half, took +4 first half, and took, I believe, 7 for the game. It was 7. By the way, second half number at BetMGM, -7.5 for Florida State. So essentially that makes them an 8.5-point dog for the entire game, 81.5 second half total. Look, I do expect Florida State is going to make a little bit of a run here, but Mike mentioned in the open. Now all of a sudden you have a Florida State team that's just got to be, you know, a win and clinch scenario where they would be the number one seed in the ACC tournament. If they do not get that done, that's going to affect a game later on in the afternoon, that being Virginia and Louisville. Virginia, a small 1.5-2-point favorite at Louisville. Now Virginia can get that number one seed if the Seminoles go down here in South Bend.
Florida State opened the game 0-for-7 from three-point range. They hit 3 of their final 4 three-pointers to go 3-for-11 in the first half. It is 47-31. Notre Dame up 16 on Florida State. That game being played at the Purcell Pavilion in South Bend. Number 20, Loyola, gets underway against Indiana State at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis. It's the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. Loyola Ramblers are the 11-point favorite, and all the bubble teams in the country, James, have got to be rooting for the Ramblers to win this tournament to make sure that there is not another team from this conference that sneaks into the dance.
Well, and I'm not going to be with them because I'm rooting for – actually, I'm not rooting for Indiana State to have to win the game outright, but I did take 10.5 with the Sycamores here and really just feeling like this is going to be – this is going to just feel like a slugfest. They split a pair of games back earlier in the season, back in January, and since then the Sycamores have played very well. They've gone 10-2 in conference, and with the total was sitting somewhere around 121, 122, and obviously what's projected to be a low-scoring affair. And since these teams – this is what you get in conference play, and I usually tend to like to try to play unders when we're looking at within conference tournaments, especially with these mid-majors, because there's a lot on the line as far as getting that automatic bid if you win your tournament to get into the big dance. In this case too, you've already played each other twice this season, so you know who you are, you know what they're going to run offensively, so a lot of times you're going to be able to make more adjustments on the defensive side. I didn't play the total because it was such a short total, but in this case, figuring it's going to be a slugfest of a game, a low-scoring game, I will take the 10.5. I did take the 10.5, Wes, and I think they just tipped off now. I think its early score right now is 10-6 in favor of Loyola Chicago.
Yeah, I did the same thing, James. Split it up with the first half and game. Big game for Indiana State here in the fact that they got a little bit off to a slow start, eventually closed it out against Evansville, winning 53-43, a typical Missouri Valley Arch Madness slugfest, low-scoring game there in St. Louis. The big rumor out there, and it's not been made official, but Jeff Goodman of Stadium did put out that Greg Lansing unlikely to be back at Indiana State. I don't know why down the brain trust down there in Terre Haute would want to make a change. I think Lansing's done a pretty good job at Indiana State with a lot of injuries, especially as Loyola now makes it 12-6, approaching the first television timeout of the first half. But I think there's a little bit of motivation maybe with Indiana State. It's like, hey, our coach is going to be gone here. You know, the guy that we committed to play for that recruited us. So I thought you might get a big effort out of the Sycamores here. 12-6 right now, Loyola. Loyola is a team, I know that they don't have a ton of those quad one. I know they always change the terminology, quad one wins or whatnot, but I think Loyola is probably in the NCAA tournament. It'll be interesting to see if Drake is, now that they're down two starters from where they were when they got off to that 18-0 start. But I think Loyola being in the top 25, probably safe, especially if they win this game today. If they make the final tomorrow, I think that they're going to get in as an at-large, even if they don't win that Valley Tournament final tomorrow, should they advance. But I did the same thing as James did. I took ISU here. Now 15 minutes left to go. First half, 12-6 Loyola.
Loyola, number 11 in the KenPom analytical rankings, and there's a good chance, as you mentioned, Wes, if they do not make the final or win the automatic bid, that they'll receive an at-large bid, and that could steal a spot from a bubble team. Later on today, Drake is taking on Missouri State. James, the Bulldogs laying 2. They have cashed an awful lot of tickets for bettors this year, going 19-5-1 against the spread. They're taking on a Missouri State team in the other semifinal today in the Missouri Valley Conference tournament.
Yeah, I don't have a side on this game, but I did play the total. I did play it under the total, 139.5 at even money, plus 100 on BetMGM. And ultimately, I looked at it this way, too. Here's another game where, yeah, they were swept by Drake earlier in the season as far as Missouri State was concerned. They struggled to shoot the basketball against Drake. And we know Drake in the half court can lock you down defensively. Those two games combined, they were 6 of 34 from three-point land. So I don't suspect they're going to shoot that poorly again. I don't think you can. You have nowhere else to go but up when it comes to shooting the basketball. But in this case here, because of the injuries, now Drake has been playing out without Hemphill, their leading scorer, who really gets the post presence for this team in the paint. But also now Roman Penn is out for the season. That's their point guard, and not only the playmaker and the scorer, but also the facilitator, leads the team in assists. So I just look at this as this turns into what should be a half-court game. Again, another conference game, mid-major conference game, two teams that have played each other already twice this year, know each other inside and out offensively, will be able to make defensive adjustments as necessary. And now with not having Roman Penn to facilitate and run the point for Drake, I just have concern. How are they going to score consistently if this turns into a half-court game, which it should? So hence, that's the only play I've made on this game, Wes, is under 139.5.
Yeah, I actually like first half here with Missouri State a little bit more in game. I may split it half and half here. And I know the spot is not as good as it used to be. This used to be a nail spot where you like to play the team that played the day before against the rested team, especially in the first half. It hasn't really worked out. I think the odds makers have kind of caught up to it, so you really got to pick your spots here when you're playing that particular spot. But I think this is actually a good one here because Drake got an unexpected bye yesterday. They were supposed to play Northern Iowa. They were taking the floor, and then Northern Iowa didn't have enough guys cleared, apparently, to go. I'm not sure how that all worked out. I mean, they did travel there, apparently. But Northern Iowa does not go, so Drake is put advanced into the next round, whereas Missouri State did have to play Valpo yesterday, and they did get the win and cover 66-55 over the Valpo Crusaders. You would think there'd be an edge for the team that didn't have to play the extra game. I actually think the edge is with the team that did play the game. And with Missouri State, when you're in this conference tournament where you're one and done, it's not a round robin, it's single elimination. You've gone through that pressure of, okay, if we don't win here, we're out of here. We're done. And especially with like a Missouri State who in normal years would probably play in the postseason, even if they didn't get in the NCAA tournament, they might be in like the NIT or the CBI or the CIT. But with those, one of those tournaments at least not happening, and with the NIT only having 16 teams this year instead of 32 teams, this is pretty much the season for Missouri State. So they've had to go through that pressure on Friday of having to beat somebody. And Drake, as of yet, has not. So I like Missouri State. I think they're going to have the energy at least early in this game. And you might get Drake a little bit flat having not had to play that game. So it's that old rest versus rust. I'm thinking that there's going to be rust here. I like Missouri State, especially in the first half.
In the last 7 years of the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament, unders have gone 24-9 when the total is 131.5 or under. That's according to Steve McAdam in this week's Point Spread Weekly, available at vsin.com/subscribe. Southeastern Conference basketball this afternoon. South Carolina visiting Kentucky, and it's the Wildcats up big right now, 55-36 at the half. It was an 8-point game, Kentucky in front. Actually, in that first half, James, Kentucky was outshot by the Gamecocks, but South Carolina turned the ball over 10 times. Pre-flop, the game closed, Kentucky laying 8 with a total of 147.5.
Yeah, I didn't make any play in this game. I think Kentucky a couple weeks ago had won 3 straight, maybe feeling like they're finally turning the corner. And we know it's been a very challenging schedule for them, especially their non-conference schedule. We saw Calipari kind of really scold himself, saying, I'm never going to schedule this much intense type of competition again, because I don't think his young team handled it, obviously, very well. But, you know, then they lost the last 2 games. And, you know, I think Kentucky is definitely not going to be in the tournament. So I just, when you get to this point of the season, and really motivation becomes a big determining factor for me as to whether I want to get involved within a game. And looking at Frank Martin's team with South Carolina, they've lost 7 of 8. They just came off just a hammer to Arkansas. So wasn't sure where this team was going to be. And obviously at this point, like you said, Mike, it's a one-way street with Kentucky, but ultimately I stayed out of this game.
Yeah, currently at BetMGM right now, Wildcats minus 18.5, 148.5 on the total, which is pretty much what the closing number was. So right at that closing number before the game. Look, Kentucky, I mean, you kind of did think that they were going to turn it around there, what James mentioned, when they won 3 in a row. And then the tough home loss last Saturday against Florida, lost to Ole Miss on Tuesday. So now the Cats 8-15, 7-9 in SEC play. But yet, you don't want to totally discard them in Nashville next week for the SEC tournament, because this is a team that maybe can put some games together. And I think even with those last 2 games they've lost, this is a team that's played better in February. This is a team that's finally played some better basketball. So look, maybe they catch one of these teams. I mean, they'll probably be, they look like they're about seated in the middle of the conference. So probably like an 8-9 game, and then they'll get the number 1 seed, which looks like it's going to be Alabama at this standpoint. This is a team that you can't necessarily throw on the ash heap, although they've been way down this year. Now, it's all going to be the attitude with these guys. Will they stay with the season? Will they look at it as, hey, we've got a new opportunity, we've got a new season here, just like everybody else, and can they go forward in the SEC tournament? So I do think if you have people that play those conference tournament futures pools, or whether they maybe do money line and just kind of roll it over from game to game, I think you'll see some action on Kentucky next week, even though they are well down from usual standards.
In the Big Ten of the Barn at Williams Arena in Minneapolis, it's Rutgers taking on Minnesota at the break. It was 37-28 Rutgers. Minnesota splits home and away. A stark contrast there. Minnesota 13-3 at home, and they're down 10 here in the second half. Rutgers laying 3.5, James, 139.5, the total.
Yeah, I mean, Rutgers, they've had to get themselves right here after just an embarrassing loss at Nebraska on Monday. They got rolled by 20, I believe. And I think Minnesota, they have been very good at the Barn. They have played very well early in the season, but lately now they've just really struggled, I think, for the last month, losing six straight, and just a lot of rumors about what's going to happen with Patino there. We've heard some things here in Colorado, up in Fort Collins, with Coach Medved maybe being mentioned as the successor if Patino is out of there. So not good thing for the Rams here, because I think that he's been a tremendous coach coming back as former assistant, now back here for the last 3 years, and really have the Rams trending in the right direction. But this was a game where, again, kind of figuring out motive, figured Rutgers was going to want to redeem themselves from such a poor showing against Nebraska. But I didn't want to have to go against Minnesota here, to have, considering how well they've played, the body of work that they played at home, but also just not feeling having any trust in Minnesota at this point, feeling like, I don't know, is the season over for these guys? That remains to be seen. If I have question marks about those things, Wes, it's not something that I want to put any investment in.
No, not at all. This was small money line on Rutgers for me. I think Rutgers probably on the right side of the bubble, but certainly another win on the road would absolutely help them out. Minnesota, very much like Indiana and the Big Ten, playing their way out of the NCAA tournament.
We'll talk Indiana-Purdue in a moment when Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, rolls on here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Basketball and hockey games every day. It's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. In addition, VSiN's reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of all the best matchups. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, with James Salinas in Denver, Wes Reynolds in Las Vegas. I'm Mike Sennett in Detroit. Let's talk Big Ten basketball. Indiana and Purdue, two teams heading in opposite directions. It appeared that Indiana was on their way to an NCAA tournament bid when they lost four straight, twice to Michigan State, once to Rutgers. They also lost to Michigan in there. And now they're below 500, heading to Purdue today as 6.5-point road underdogs, James.
Yeah, and actually this line, I was just checking this now. I saw some sevens early this morning, and I also now see it's been crawling down, money coming in on Indiana. At least that line's moving that way. It's down to, I see a number of 5.5s out here now. So trending towards Indiana, I'm not sure why. I want to ask Wes, just make sure I'm not missing something here, because looking at this matchup, yeah, two teams definitely trending in opposite directions. Purdue playing, they've won four straight, and what I've seen out of Purdue is they're playing a lot more through the post. We know Trevion Williams is a load down there, and they love to get him his paint touches, but I think that big 7'4" Zach Edey has been much more prominent in their half-court sets. Now, he takes half the shot clock to get himself and lumber down the court to get set up in the half-court, but he is such a big post presence. You're starting to see more confidence. He's a young fella, but he is massive inside, and really, to give Trevion Williams a blow, they've been going more inside the post with Edey the last few games. The last six games, he's averaged 12 points per game, so he's getting a lot more paint touches. And I kind of just looked at the matchup over the course of 40 minutes, just feeling like with Indiana, yeah, Jackson Davis is his own right, a tremendous offensive player in the paint, but he's going to have to contend with both of those guys, because really Indiana's a little thin on the front court as far as size is concerned. I just feel like this is just going to be a game of attrition, especially for Jackson Davis having to carry load. I don't think Armon Franklin is going to play unless maybe something has happened in that number, and he is been activated. I think he had a foot injury. Not sure. I didn't think he was going to play, but with that number moving the way that it was, Wes, I didn't want to lay 7. I figured maybe this would be a spot and Indiana's going to give some effort today, maybe at halftime, just feeling like I can get a better number and feel like for 40 minutes between Williams and Edey and that intense pressure defense that we know we're going to see out of Purdue in the half court really would wear the Hoosiers down over the course of 40 minutes.
Yeah, this is one where you're starting to beginning to wonder, someone knows something that I don't know, and maybe go with the someones here if you're believing in the line movement on Indiana. What you said, James, is true. Armon Franklin not going to go today, still out with that ankle injury. They expect him, I think, maybe later in the week for the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. Race Thompson is going to go. He did have a facial procedure done, got hit in the face the last time and had been wearing the mask or the shield for a couple games, but he is going to go for Indiana. Indiana seeing the money here. Archie Miller, just personally trying to get off the schneid here. He is 0-7 against the Purdue Boilermakers. Purdue, I believe, has won 10 of the last 11 meetings against Indiana. So, you know, it was kind of curious. Purdue put out that tweet about, oh, a great rivalry or whatever. I was like, no, it's not a great rivalry, or it is for you guys because you're dominating Indiana, really. And you've got a coach on the other side who's never gotten a win against you. But Indiana's seeing the money here. And look, Indiana probably, they would be out of the NCAA tournament today. I think they've kind of played themselves out. Still the opportunity to maybe get back in with some other teams in the Big Ten kind of falling on hard times as well, most notably Minnesota. So we'll see. Indiana, I think, though, has to win here in Mackey Arena today, this afternoon, and then probably at least two games in Indianapolis in the Big Ten tournament. Either have to make the semifinals or the finals to get an at-large bid. But lean Indiana here, but the line moves certainly curious to take a team that's definitely let bettors down of late.
At BetMGM here in Michigan, guys, the line down to 5.5. That's Purdue laying the 5.5 number. They have won 6 straight in 9 of the last 10 meetings with the Hoosiers. They play today at Mackey Arena, West Lafayette. More college basketball to come here on Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The time to start planning your one shining moment as a college hoops bettor. Our experts are analyzing every game and every conference this week so you can start cashing tickets before the big dance tips off. And when it comes to the madness, we've got everything you need, starting with live Selection Sunday coverage, giving you instant updates on early lines and where the betting opportunities exist in the market. Once the teams are set, you'll get our bracket betting guide, including full betting details and trends for the teams, conferences, players, and matchups, so you can prepare your bracket and bets against the spread. During the tournament, we have full coverage and updated information available on air and at vsin.com, so you never miss a line move or betting opportunity. Sign up today and get access to everything VSIN has to offer from now until they cut down the nets at Indy. Start your free trial now at vsin.com/subscribe. We're back on Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett with James Salinas, head of the VSIN studios. It's Wes Reynolds with an update on what's happening right now in college basketball.
Yeah, probably the big upset here early on is up in South Bend, 62-49, under 12th timeout, Notre Dame over Florida State. Irish minus 7.5, 160.5 on the in-game total. No upset in Kentucky. Wildcats all over the Gamecocks, 69-46, 9 minutes left to go. Kentucky minus 22.5, 147.5 on the total, so about right at where it closed pregame. UConn continues to roll in the Big East, and with the injury to Colin Gillespie for Villanova, UConn kind of becoming that buzz team a little bit in the Big East tournament for next week in Madison Square Garden. 70-51 over Georgetown. UConn minus 20.5, 155.5 the in-game total, about 8.5 to go there. Rutgers over Minnesota, 52-41. Rutgers minus 9.5, 137.5 on the current in-game total. And also Pitt at Clemson. Clemson up 68-50, 7:25 left to go down there. Clemson probably on the right side of the bubble, so just getting another win to bolster their case. And then we do have a couple games that started early in the 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific windows in terms of these lower major conference tournaments. And you got two regular season champions, one seeds in their tournament, currently down right now. Loyola Maryland leading Navy 60-55. I believe Navy's leading scorer got ruled out before the game, so this line collapsed down from 5.5, 6 down to all the way at 3.5. And Loyola Maryland leading at Navy, or leading against Navy 60-55. Also in the SoCon tournament, Nashville Citadel up 63-62 over UNC Greensboro. Greensboro, by the way, was that conference's regular season champion. Greensboro currently minus 3.5 at BetMGM, 159.5 on the total. So, you know, it's kind of going to get a little bit wackier this year, because usually these regular season champions get automatic bids to the NIT if they lose their conference tournament. But the NIT just go into 16 teams. I believe they're going to play in a bubble in Dallas-Fort Worth. So, you know, could be the end of the season for some of these lower major number one seeds and regular season champions if they don't win their conference tournaments.
No automatic bids this year to the NIT for those regular season champions that did not win their conference tournament, as Wes was just mentioning. We've got a conference home dog tipping off at the top of the hour in the Southeastern Conference. Number 8, Alabama visiting Georgia. The Crimson Tide, James, laying 7.5, 160.5 the total at the Stegman Coliseum in Athens.
Yeah, and this one I actually took the conference home dog here. I did take Georgia plus 8. I found an 8 this morning. And this was more, this isn't a play against Alabama. Obviously, Alabama's had a tremendous season and will be the, they clinched the title last week as far as SEC regular season championship is concerned. And, you know, and they're coming off a big in-state win against Auburn the other night. So I just feel like this could be kind of a flat effort coming out for Alabama. And really, this is more one of those spots where you look at Georgia. They're a different team at home. They've had a few good conference wins at home, have the Bulldogs, but more so I look at this, they've just a few weeks back, that absolute beatdown to Alabama. They gave up 115 points. They scored 80 points themselves, but just got throttled defensively. Now, yeah, they're not a great defensive team, so it's still going to be a high-scoring game here, but I feel like at least from a competitive, the competitive edge standpoint, it's going to lay with the Bulldogs. So this, from that that standpoint here, I did take Georgia plus the 8 playing at home, really just trying to right themselves from an awful showing against Alabama a few weeks back.
I'm with you here, James, on Georgia as the home underdog. And you mentioned they got pasted 115-82 in Tuscaloosa a couple weeks ago. So, you know, a pride game here for Georgia after they got beat so handily. Also, Alabama has clinched the number one seed in the SEC tournament this upcoming week in Nashville. Look, maybe an outside chance to get that number one seed. I think the consensus is that three of the four are pretty much spoken for, with Gonzaga, Baylor, and even Michigan, even off that loss to Illinois. I think they've done enough to merit that. And then you got a bunch of teams trying to get that final number one seed in the NCAA tournament. And Alabama, I think, would maybe be in consideration for that. Line has gone down to 7 here, so there is some support for Georgia. And Chris Andrews said that to us on the pregame show, with myself and Amal Shah, that Georgia's getting a little bit of support today. And I think you've got perhaps some sharp bettors out there on this Bulldog side, with Alabama having already clinched the number one seed and the regular season title. I think Georgia's going to show some pride. Now, they want to run, too. Georgia is very much an up-tempo team. They like to take a lot of transition threes under Tom Crean. That's kind of been his modus operandi on offense. So Georgia's comfortable with the big pace, and this total has moved up from 156.5 in the overnight to about 161. So it's been one-way traffic to the over here.
Georgia ranked 15th in the country in the KenPom in adjusted tempo. So as you mentioned, Wes, they do like to run the basketball. That 115-82 Alabama win back on February the 13th, at 115-point outburst from the Crimson Tide, the second most points scored in school history. Here's an interesting note from the Georgia game notes. Georgia head coach Tom Crean has coached 15 players that went on to the NBA, and their contracts, or the money they've earned or will earn in the NBA, $625 million. That's Tom Crean. I can imagine what some of the other money, like, let's say John Calipari. Someone should do an analysis on the contracts for his kids, right? And Mike Krzyzewski, Dean Smith. It'd be very interesting to see that. I found that to be a fascinating note in the Georgia game notes today. The Auburn Tigers are a 1.5-point favorite at home with Mississippi at the Auburn Arena today. James, the total there, 141.
Yeah, no play for me with this game here. I don't know what Auburn's going to show. Sure, I would lean towards Mississippi State. We know a Howland. They're going to bang you inside and be physical defensively and get points in the paint. But ultimately here, I don't know if Auburn shows. This is the last game of the season for the Tigers, so maybe they have some effort out of them today. No play for me.
Coming up, more college basketball, including the big ones coming up at the top of the hour here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. With BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Sign up today and win $100, and you place a $1 wager on Israel Adesanya to beat Jan Blachowicz on March the 6th. That's today. Simply use bonus code VSIN100 when you place your first bet to take advantage of this knockout offer. Enjoy Fight Night more than ever with BetMGM. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager in Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM from the BetMGM Sportsbook at the MGM Grand in Detroit. I'm Mike Sennett. James Salinas joins us from Denver. Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas at the South Point. Big 12 basketball coming up today in Morgantown, West Virginia, as Bob Huggins goes for career win number 900 as West Virginia hosts Oklahoma State. And big news in this one, no Cade Cunningham for the Cowboys, and West Virginia is laying 10, James.
Yeah, and no play for me either here. And I think Huggins will get that win today with no Cunningham coming in. This is one of those games where potentially, I think normally you see when you have your big player go down just for a short term, right? It was unfortunate. He got hurt at really the last few seconds, really one of the last plays of that game against Baylor the other night. Hopefully he'll be okay and be ready to go for the conference tournament coming up in a few days, and I suspect he will be. But I think in this case here, because it is the last game of the season, they know they have the conference tournament coming up due to the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and the fact that it's just been really such a grind, really high level intensity games that the Cowboys have been playing the last week and a half or so, back-to-back games against OU, in-state rival, real competitive games, overtime game, an overtime win over Texas Tech, and then follow with having to go a trip to Waco and play the Baylor Bears. This probably is kind of a team, just from an emotional standpoint, a little fatigued right now and probably just looking ahead to the conference tournament, and to play for 40 minutes against West Virginia. I think in this matchup here, Huggins wasn't very pleased with kind of a letdown spot playing TCU the other day after that loss to Baylor, another competitive overtime game for West Virginia. I think we'll definitely see a great effort out of West Virginia here, wanting to get Huggy that 900th win, but I'm not going to lay. This number has continued to climb out here in Colorado. As I see a number of 9.5s at BetMGM, it's 9.5, and a number of 10s out here as well. Too steep a price for me to jump on the Mountaineers, though.
Yeah, this is going to be a pass for me. West Virginia, by the way, with the win here, would clinch the number 2 seed in the Big 12 tournament. So that obviously gets you on the opposite side of the draw for Baylor, where you wouldn't get the rematch with them until the conference championship game. Oklahoma State, I had them the other night, and they kind of hung within the number just barely against Baylor, rallied late. But without Cunningham, and also Isaac Likely also out for this game with the hand injury. So couldn't really get with Oklahoma State. And what James said about in terms of a lot of these tough games, also a lot of emotion for Oklahoma State, because unless the NCAA decides to make the ruling like this week, Oklahoma State did receive that one-year postseason ban for the NCAA tournament, but what they elected to do was appeal. We saw, I think it was Georgia Tech last year, when they knew they probably weren't going to make the tournament, took that one-year ban. And then Auburn did the same this year, thinking that they were going to be young. Well, Oklahoma State went ahead and appealed it because they're like, okay, we got the likely number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft. Let's go for it this year and take our sanctions down the line. This from previous assistant Lamont Evans, who committed penalties that was discovered in that FBI investigation that affected several schools. But you know, I know it's risen from 10, but I still probably, it's not enough for me to get involved with Oklahoma State here. West Virginia did have that game against TCU the other night where they won and they were wire to wire, but they did not end up covering. TCU rallied late in the second half, got within the number. And I thought that was kind of a little bit of a letdown spot for West Virginia anyway, having lost at home to Baylor in overtime and putting so much into that game. But I got to think West Virginia gets the win here, gets Bob Huggins his 900th win, but not going to lay it.
You can get 9.5 here at the BetMGM Sportsbook at the MGM Grand. West Virginia laying that 9. Some books have it at 10, so it's bouncing around. Cade Cunningham again not playing for the Cowboys. He will be out. He is the Big 12's leading scorer. Iowa State has dropped 16 consecutive games. James, can they get it done today? Can they stop the streak as 4.5-point dogs at Kansas State?
I don't know. These are the games. That's where. Can I just give a one-word answer? No, or maybe two words.
That's fine. I mean that's
a game. When we're looking at this deep into the, you know, it's the end of the season here, and yeah, just a. That's the hardship, right? It's number one. You've had a bad season. There's injuries, COVID, everything else, and then just think about these student athletes. Everything that they've had to restrict themselves from the college life, and obviously college life on campus is looking different from campus to campus, but you got to think that but for teams like Kansas State and in particular Iowa State, got to be ready to just call it good and be ready to be finished with the season and try to find some normalcy. Spring break's going to be coming up pretty soon, so maybe something to look ahead for these student athletes that have had to make a lot of sacrifices to continue to compete and play. But as far as this game was, I don't have an opinion between Kansas State and Iowa State.
Yeah, Rasir Bolton not likely to go for Iowa State. Nigel Pack is going to be back for Kansas State. Iowa State still with that O in the win column, at least in Big 12 play, 0-17. And I think for a while, when they had relatively most of their guys healthy and able to go, they were giving you some good efforts. They were at least competitive in these losses, but lost by 14 at home against Texas last time out, lost by 27 in Lubbock against a Texas Tech team that's kind of trying to find themselves late in the season. I didn't know what to do with this one. If I'm forced, I would say take the points with Iowa State, that they're at least going to try here and try to get that elusive Big 12 win here. But we've already heard the rumors if Steve Prohm is going to be back in Ames. One of the names bandied about, of course, is our own coach here in Las Vegas, TJ Otzelberger, if he would go back. He was a former assistant there at Iowa State, has a lot of roots in that area. So it's just been a mess for Iowa State. You know, these two teams, and I think Kansas State as well, they've been trying, but they're just so down on talent. These are the clear worst two teams in the Big 12 right now, 9-10. So nothing for me here. If I had to, though, Iowa State.
Line movement again in the Indiana-Purdue matchup. The Big Ten battle that starts in about 7 minutes or so at the top of the hour. We've had a line of 5.5. Purdue laying that number here at BetMGM in Michigan. The number is 6.5 on the money line. It is -300 Purdue, +240 for Indiana, the total 133.5. That's the line at the BetMGM Sportsbook of the MGM Grand. At vsin.com, if you're watching us on television, Purdue laying 7, -300, Purdue +250, 134.5. James, any line movement there in the Purdue-Indiana matchup in Colorado?
Yeah, now that you mention it, when we talked about this in one of the earlier segments, it was down to 5.5, but it is now pretty much 6.5 across the board for Purdue. I like Purdue in the spot here, but I'm not going to lay this number. Like I said, I just think this is going to be a game of attrition with Purdue's bigs being able to really start to wear down Indiana over the course of 40 minutes. So I think we'll see, obviously, an in-state rival here, so Indiana's going to want to come out, and they're going to put some great effort out there, but can they sustain that for 40 minutes, especially against the big men that Purdue have? I think that will wear them down, so I'm going to be actually looking more so either an in-game or a second-half line here, Wes.
Yeah, and I think that's the way to approach it if you're Indiana. If you can find there's some 3.5s out there, maybe take 4 for the first half, because they've been hearing that they can't beat this team. And they can't beat this rival here. It's their senior day. Indiana's very shorthanded without Armon Franklin. Race Thompson, by the way, is going to go today. He is in the starting lineup for Indiana. So that gives them at least something there down low from a rebounding standpoint. And he's kind of, I think, really kind of the glue guy on the team that does all the dirty work. So they absolutely need him. The guards just outside of Armon Franklin just have not been consistent in terms of making shots. They were right there against Michigan State. You know, it was kind of a ugly game the other night up there in East Lansing between two teams, but Michigan State was able to get going late and Indiana just didn't have the response. So number looks about right here. Maybe Indiana first half that they hang in for 20 minutes and then there's your opportunity to go Purdue second half or Purdue in game, as James just mentioned.
Again, the number as low as 5.5. Purdue laying that number here at BetMGM in Michigan. It is now 6.5 in certain spots. It is a 7. Florida State continues to struggle in South Bend. Notre Dame leading that one 70-62, 6:40 to go in the second in that one. Florida State attempting to capture its second consecutive ACC regular season title. If they cannot get it done, that opens the door for 21st-ranked Virginia, James. They're laying a point and a half today at Louisville, 122 the total at the KFCM Center.
Yeah, obviously Virginia, they've struggled the last few games too. Now, obviously, I know they're coming off one last win, but ultimately here, I think the hard part has been for Louisville, right? It's been just a struggle of a season through COVID and now through injuries and another injury again to this team. I think that's a team, Wes, that I've just had such a hard time getting a read on, our Louisville, just because of all the intermittent stops of play.
Yeah, and Malik Williams, who they had just gotten back a few games ago, now out looking like for the rest of the season. So Virginia now, if Florida State does lose here, they can clinch the number one seed in the ACC tournament. So small lean to the Cavaliers, but as of now, pass for me.
Tony Bennett, 11-2 in his career against the Cardinals. The second hour of Betting Across America is just around the corner here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.